Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
I just want to, you know, get everybody's mindset back into, you know, where we're at in Blueprints. So Blueprints, this series is based on the first and second book of Timothy in the New Testament, which was written by Paul. And the Apostle Paul, just a quick backstory on him to make sure we frame this up correctly. The Apostle Paul, before he became the man he was, he was far from God. And he was actually someone who was persecuting the new Christian church. See, Jesus had recently been executed on the cross, died, was buried, and was resurrected. And in the years after that, the new church was being formed. And so during that time, Saul, as we knew him then, was a persecutor of the church. And he was someone who actually hated Christians. He hated the church movement. He was actually partnering with the Roman government to help destroy the church. And so it is this man who, at a crossroads in his life, meets Jesus Christ and who is changed forever. And I think it's important to know that that's the person that's writing to us. He was changed in such a way that Jesus spoke to him and said, Paul, why are you, or Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Jesus changed his heart and turned him around from someone who was a persecutor of the church to someone who was helping build the church. And the apostle then became someone who went from town to town, establishing new churches. He went on mission for Jesus into different territories, gaining ground in places where the name of Jesus hadn't been found before or hadn't been heard before. He's preaching to people for the first time hearing the name Jesus Christ about this great story of our Savior. From town to town, he's not only planting churches and empowering churches, but he's discipling leaders. And Timothy was one of his leaders. I really encourage you to go back and watch the other blueprints if you haven't seen them. There was a really good message we got a few weeks ago about discipling other people. That was what Paul was doing. He was discipling others. Tim was his protege, Timothy. And so this second letter was written to him. And when Paul is writing this letter, this is years on into his mission work, he's actually been incarcerated in prison and has been handed a death sentence. Chief Stan said a few weeks ago that it's important that we understand that this particular book, 2 Timothy, was written from a perspective of someone who is about to die. He's about to be martyred for his belief in Jesus Christ. And so I say all that just to kind of frame up where we're at today in Blueprints. We're going to talk about 2 Timothy and chapter 3. So if you have your Bible with you today or your Bible app on your phone, you can get that out and log in or turn the page and get to that part. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here to you. My Bible is a New American Standard Version. It's a 95 translation, so it may read a little bit different than yours, but it reads usually pretty easy to what everyone else is reading. This chapter in my Bible is titled The Caution for a Soldier of Christ. And it's important for me to say that too, because the reason we entitled this Blueprints is because 1 and 2 Timothy is the blueprint for how we are to operate as a church, called the pastoral epistles, the pastoral letters. But it's not just for pastors today, it's for everyone in the church. The caution for a soldier of Jesus Christ. It goes on to in the title here, it says, The Peril of Apostasy. This is some heavy stuff. I'm gonna jump into this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving. Oh, this one hurts. irreconcilable, man, malicious gossips without self-control. Somebody on Facebook today. Somebody on Twitter today. Malicious gossip without self-control. It says very simply, brutal. Just brutal. Haters of good. Treacherous. Reckless. Conceited. This one really hurts right here. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We have some tough stuff to get through this morning, okay? We're going to get through some of this stuff. There's good news coming at the end, all right? But we're going to get through some of this tough stuff. As I read this first part of this chapter, and I said, Lord, I'm going to be preaching on that. God, help me. Help me with that one. I'm reading these words, and they're like hitting my heart, just painful. And there's one word on there that really stuck out to me. It says ungrateful. Ungrateful. We went on a mission trip into Mexico about a month ago, me and a team of about 14 other people, and we had an amazing, amazing trip there, and we did so many wonderful things for the gospel and for the kingdom of God while we were in Mexico. I want to share a story from a neighborhood that I'm pretty sure I can't pronounce. It's Las Ladrilleras. Very hard for me to say, and I actually am not too bad at Spanish, but that word is really hard for me, and I've tried over and over, and I always get it wrong. But this neighborhood was a neighborhood. It was a colonia on the outskirts of a major city that we were working in, and it was a really, really poor neighborhood where they're known for the building of bricks. They make bricks for the entire community and all over the city, and I'm sure over the nation. We may even buy some bricks from them as well. But in this little neighborhood is a really poor area where we went to go do a tent revival, and our partners in Mexico, our partner church, is working on planting a church in this neighborhood. And so we were going out there, and in this place is very, very poor area. And I've got some pictures to share with you. If y'all want to put one of those pictures up, this is what the neighborhood looks like. So this is standing from the soccer field, which has no grass on it, if you didn't notice. And you can see just the outskirts of the city there, or the little neighborhood there. This is kind of from where we were putting our tent up and looking into the neighborhood. And so what we did was we put up a tent for revival, and then we spread out as teams and went out into the neighborhoods knocking on doors to invite people to come out to revival and come out to our service. And so some teams went back in the neighborhoods, and some other teams went over to where they actually were making the bricks. And if you want to show that picture of what it looks like with the brick chimney. And so this is where they actually make the bricks. And my son was actually with the team that went out into this area, and they were so friendly to him. They took him back there and showed him everything that they do. They showed him how they make the bricks, from the growing of the straw. So they cut the straw and mix it with mud, and you can flip onto the next picture or two. That's actually the chimney when it's, you know, all the smoke coming up. And as that smoke is coming up, it's going through the whole neighborhood. These people are all just breathing this in all day, every day, breathing that smoke in. And here's one of the guys that was actually showing them. You can see where they like mix the mud up, and then they pour it into the little forms and make all the bricks. And so they make all these bricks, and then they stack them in those big chimneys, and then they put a fire inside of it, and that fire goes all night long. And it dries the bricks out and makes them hard. And the guy was telling my 16-year-old son, Ryan, he was telling him, man, we work all day. We work like 16-hour days every day. And when we light this fire underneath these bricks, it can't go out. We have to stay here and watch this fire all night long to make sure that it doesn't go out so that our bricks will dry properly. And he said that they work like six days a week at least. Sometimes they go all through the night. They don't even get to sleep, and they're just working, 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 working. And my son was impacted by it, but in the neighborhoods, you know, what's happening is all the men are out there working on the bricks, and back home, nobody's raising the kids. And so the mom is trying to raise the kids without the dads because they're gone working all the time. And so there's drugs, and there's alcoholism, and there's depression, and there's anxiety, and there's child abuse. And actually, one of the terrible things that's happening in this community is there's a big problem with incest. And so there's a lot of mental retardation going on through the neighborhood. There's just dozens and dozens of kids that were born defective because they've been born from incest. Because there's so many things in this neighborhood that are just, you know, not right. And it all comes down to these guys that are just, they're gone, they're working. And, you know, they're only making, this is the hard part, they're making about $100 a month to do this job. And I started thinking, you know, what's the math on that? And it breaks down to about $4 a day that these guys are earning doing this job. $4 a day is more than I spend on my morning coffee. And so when I hear this story and I'm in this neighborhood, I'm thinking, gosh, these people, they have it so hard. And we go back I'm with a team that's back in the neighborhood handing out invitations, knocking on door to door, and everybody's so excited that we're there and so welcoming. We got back way deep back into the neighborhood. You can put some of those neighborhood pictures up if you like. You know, this is where we went back into the neighborhood, and you can see just, you know, no streets and trash everywhere. And we got way back in there in one of the corners, and there was a guy back there with his family, and they were cooking dinner. There was 5 or 6 of them. I don't remember his name. He introduced himself as Maestro something. I can't remember, but I went to him and I said, hey, we want to invite you out. I'm a pastor. I'm from Texas. You know, we're here. We believe God sent us here for a reason. We really want you and your family to come out and celebrate with us. And this guy wasn't having it. He was not hearing anything I had to say. You want to know why? Because he wanted to invite me into his house for dinner. And every time I said, no, I got to go. He said, no, you need to come eat with us. Come on, we got food. We're cooking. We got tacos. We got quesadillas. We got all this different stuff. And I'm sitting here thinking, this is a family that's probably making $4 a day. And I'm a complete and total stranger. But yet this man is adamant to come in and eat with me. And I wanted to say yes so bad. I really did. I felt like I was Anthony Bourdain, no boundaries or something. I was really like, man, I want to go sit down and eat with them. That would be so cool. And he's like, no, come on, come on. He's like, we got the food. We've got the wine. He lifts up a bottle of half-drinking wine. I think he might have been drunk, honestly. He's like, come on and eat with us. And I was like, no, I really want to, but I've got to go work down there tonight. And it's easy when you're in a situation and you're in a neighborhood like that and you're looking around at just, you know, how poor and desolate everything is. And it's real easy to get into the mentality of, man, they need help, you know? They need help. And they do need help. They do. But this sermon and this message today is not about them. When we read in this book about people who are ungrateful, it's not talking about that group of people. I walked away from that house and I was just impacted in my heart. And maybe we're the ones that have it all wrong. Maybe God's wanting to do something in us here in Mexico more so than he's wanting us to do for him in Mexico. Back here in the United States of America, where we are one nation under God, we got some of our own problems. Would you agree with me on that? We got some of our own problems. And I don't say that because I don't love this great country. This is the greatest country in the world, and I'm honored and I'm thankful to God every day that I was born here and not there, because that's really the only person I can give that credit to. It's not anything I've done. Back here in the United States, we have a lot of work to do, though. You start looking at all these treacherous, reckless, conceited lovers of pleasure. We got some things to work on here in the United States. Gallup did a Gallup poll was done in 2021, just a couple of years ago that shows the attendance of United States churches today. And those numbers you see up on that screen are percentages of people who attend church on a regular basis, regular meaning just more than once per month. And you can see all the way from 1940 and the 1950s, it was up nearly 80%. But now in 2021, for the first time in American history, church attendance has dipped below 50%. Church goers like you and me are now the minority in this nation under God. My Bible says that Paul titles this the peril of apostasy, and I knew the word apostasy. I'd heard it before, but I wasn't really sure what it meant, so I went and I looked it up, and apostasy means the abandonment or renunciation of a religious or political belief. In Bible terms, it's the rejection of Christ by one who has been a Christian. The opposite of conversion, it's rebellion, abandonment, and defection. We're starving here in the United States of America too. We're just not physically hungry, we're spiritually hungry. We're spiritually deficient and we don't even realize it as a nation. And if we're not quick to make a change here, then we will not be fed by God, but we will be fed by the deceiver. And we have to be reminded of these things. And it's not my favorite topic to get to preach about today. And it's probably not the best news you heard coming in here on a Sunday morning either. But we've heard this over and over again in the Blueprint series, that there's things in here that we need to hear as a church. There's things that we have to know as a church. Let's read on in 2 Timothy verse 5. It says, holding on to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Lord, help us. He says, avoid such men as these. Verse 7 says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And verse 13 says, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That verse in there that says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, that really stuck to me because we live in a generation right now where we can Google everything. And it's fun to do, right? I mean, I enjoy it. There's so much things out there that you can learn about. It's like, oh, well, let's just Google it. Let's just Google it. But we're living as a culture now that just Googles things, and we get a little bit of knowledge on something, and all of a sudden we believe that we're an expert. People do, oh, I researched it on Google. There's no such thing as researching it on Google, y'all. Come on, how about my Bobcast? I know y'all ain't back yet, but, you know, there's real research going on over at the university. Google ain't real research. Come on now. We know all this stuff, but I swear in 2023 we have all this knowledge and we're steady getting dumber. I mean it. I just swore in church, too. I just realized that. Woo! It's getting hot up here. All this knowledge, people getting dumber. There's a saying I heard. I love this saying. Man. I clear my throat. Common sense just ain't so common anymore. We have all this knowledge, but we don't have no sense. I had to go and look up the definition of deceive, too, because it says that they're going to go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is really interesting. This one thing to be wrong, but the definition of deceived is you're wrong and you're not aware. That's someone who's wrong about something, but they're ignorant to the truth. There's a lot of those people. I think you can agree with me right now that there's a lot of those people out there right now. They're wrong about something that they've gotten behind. They've gotten behind something that doesn't align with the Word of God. And they're waving their banner and they're going full steam ahead and they're not even aware of the truth of Jesus Christ. My fear is that we might know Jesus Christ but never step into his wisdom. It's one thing to know about Jesus. It's different to step into a lifestyle of following Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. There's a difference between knowing and having wisdom. There's a difference between knowing Jesus and walking with Jesus. And I know that you've heard a lot of bad news here this morning, and it's kind of heavy, and it weighs on you because we know it's really happening here, right? But that's why we gather in this building every day. This 47% of us, we're going to gather here every week. Amen? And we're going to keep gathering, and we're going to keep gathering. And the reason we come, and what I want you to hear from us today, is that we are called to help these people. We're not only called to help the ones that you saw in Mexico, but the ones right here, those who are deceived right here in our community. Those who have knowledge but no wisdom, they've heard the name of Jesus, but they don't know anything about him. We're called to that. You see, when Paul met Jesus Christ, he went from being the worst persecutor of Christians to the foremost builder of the Christian church. He went on to write 17 books of the New Testament. More, the majority of the New Testament was written by this man. You can't meet Jesus Christ and not be changed. That's what happened in Jesus in Paul's journey. Was he met Jesus, but he was also changed by Jesus. The meeting of Jesus on its own is merely not enough. You see, Paul came to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Have you come to the revelation of Jesus Christ yet, church? Because when we come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, it should lead to activation. You see, Paul, he met Jesus, but it wasn't good enough for him to just be saved and stay there in that state. His interaction with Jesus, his revelation of Jesus was so real that it caused him to activate, to get out there and make a difference, to plant churches, to build buildings, to empower people to lead on the mission for Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that Paul can be our example. Because the word that I really want you to hear today is that if God can take someone like Paul, if God can take someone like Paul and use him the way he used him and did so many magnificent things with Paul, he can do the same with you. The story's not over. Just because the Bible's written, the story's not over yet. We're still taking ground for the kingdom of God. And I'm so glad that Pastor Norman is part of our staff here. If you haven't met Pastor Norman is actually not here this week. He's out on mission right now. He's preaching in churches down at the Rio Grande Valley. He's building up the characteristics of the church there. He's partnering with leadership. He's going to go and travel all over the United States raising funds to build the church in India. Over 1,100 churches that he oversees in the most populated nation in the world. You think that he just landed here by mistake? God has planted him here for such a time as this. If you haven't got the chance to shake his hand, next time you see him, I encourage you, shake his hand, get to know him, welcome him, and understand that God's getting ready to move in Promised Land. He ain't just bringing people into our church so we can sit here and hang out. He's fixing to build something great. I'm excited about what God's doing. Back to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14, this is the good part. Most of the chapter is kind of heavy, but this is the best part right here. Verse 14, he says, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And this is a very, very popular verse here. Many of you have heard, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, so that a man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I'm praying today that we can equip you here at Promised Land to be part of the mission. We don't get the blueprint for the blueprint to sit on the shelf. Blueprints are made for what? Building, right? Amen. Thank you back there, brother. Blueprints are made for building. We're here to build this church. Paul says in 3:14, he says, you, however. Man, I love it when I hear a however in the Word of God. You, however. This book was written to Timothy, but I promise you, this book was written to you today too. This Word is for us. It's a living, breathing Word. And the Word of God has come near to us today, and it's telling us, you, however. I know there's a lot of you, howevers out in the crowd there today. Many of you, you, howevers, in this house. God has placed you here with a specific purpose too. Every single person. Because see, in you is the truth. God has placed His Word in your heart. And if the truth is in you, then it's meant to be carried out into a dark and lost world. Amen? World. There is an all-out attack on truth in our nation today. You saw the numbers. You saw the numbers. I hope that today is a marking day for you to have a response in your heart that you were planted here in Promised Land to be part of God's great mission. Because here's what's interesting about Promised Land. You saw the stats of the American church. It's going down, right? And we're down under 50% for the first time ever. But God's doing something different here at Promised Land. I heard Jen and Nikki tell us just a few moments ago when we had our morning huddle, the church attendance here at Promised Land is on the rise. Yeah. And we all get excited for that, right? Like everybody wants to hear we're growing, we're moving. But have you stopped for a moment to ponder why? Like, why is it that the entire church in the United States of America is on the decline, but God's doing something here? He's doing something in Promised Land. There's a bright future here. God's about to do amazing stuff. He's already done. Matter of fact, we could just call it all off for everything He's already done right now. It's been enough. More than we could have ever imagined. But that's not the God that we're serving here. And our church motto here, our mission at Promised Land, leading others into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. That's our mission. That's what we're going to do every Sunday. The word might sound a little different. It might have a little bit different angle or might be kind of pointed a little bit more in another direction. But everything we do here is about drawing you into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. People say, Chris, what does discipleship and formation pastor mean? That's what it means. That's actually my job. If you were to define my job, it's helping people continue their walk with Jesus. Discipleship, formation, forming in your life, helping you form, helping you move toward Jesus. Our entire purpose here is to help get you activated. Help you find your purpose. If you haven't found your purpose yet, Promised Land is a safe place for you to find your purpose. And I know that's the prayer of many, many people. God, help me find my purpose. Promised Land is here for that. Not just the pastors, but the elders, the Promise Group leaders, the ministry leaders, the Dream Team people, every single one of us. This is a safe place for you to explore God. And we're believing that when you begin exploring God, you're going to go on a Paul mission. God's going to do something crazy. If you found your calling, if you feel like you found it and you found your purpose, then take your next step. That's my biggest thing for you today, is just take your next step. Come on, keep going. Keep pushing further. God's not done for you. You might have been serving here for 30 years and thinking, man, or 20 years and be thinking, man, God has used me, and man, I'm in kind of a stale season now, and I feel like things are just on autopilot. God's got something new for you. He's not done. You might be 80 years old sitting here wondering, how can God use me? God can still use you today. I've seen 80-year-olds go into the prison with us and minister to the ladies. Going in there with a walker. Lighten it up for God. Lighten it up for God. We're believing today. We want to help you make progress. What's scary to me is if you're not making progress, you might just be in some of those others that Paul's listing out there, where he says in 3 verse 5, listen to this, if you're not making progress in your calling, you might be holding on to a form of godliness, but be denying its power. What that means is you might know a little bit about God, but you haven't really stepped into the power of what He created you to do. Do you know that each and every person in this room, everyone in this room, this is truth. God created you. And he created you with a purpose. And guess what your purpose is? It's not so complicated. It's to glorify God. And you might glorify God by ministering in your home. You might glorify God by ministering at your job. You might glorify God by going out on mission with us somewhere. You might glorify God by just being there at HEB and praying with someone that you know needs prayer. Down at the homeless shelter, helping us feed homeless people and pray with them. There's many, many ways for you to get involved here at Promised Land, and I just want to encourage all of you to do it. Do it. Fill out that connection card. Take next steps. You know, I wouldn't be standing right here with a microphone in my hand. You want to know how it all started? It all started with a connect card. I filled it out. I said, yeah, I'm interested. I want to learn more. Guess what? 10 years later, better than I could have ever imagined when you say yes to God's calling on your life. Better than you could ever imagine. I got one more thing I want to just say real quick, and then we can pray. But God gave this specifically for us today. He said, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. I want to speak to somebody. It might just be one person, but I want to speak to someone who from childhood has known. You have known that God has put a calling on your life, and you've never figured out how to step into it. Today's your day. I want to pray with you today. Come up to the front. Let us pray with you up here. There might be many people who you've known from childhood that God had something for you and you just hadn't figured it out yet. Let today be that day. Fill out that connection card. Come and visit with us. Come and pray with us. Will you stand and pray for me or with me? My old boss used to say, not Pastor Robin, another boss, he used to say, you're either the poison or you're the cure. Just that simple. Let's be a church that's part of the cure here in San Marcos. Here in this area, here in this community. Let's be part of the cure. The cure is needed. Where there's a sick and desperate and hurting nation out there that needs you. They don't just need me or Nate or Pastor Robin. They need all of us. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just pray a blessing over your people today, Lord God. I pray an activation over your people today, Lord God. There's someone in this room today that's heard in their heart, it stirred something in their heart, that there's something they're supposed to do. That there's work that you have planned for them that doesn't involve just sitting in on church on Sunday, but actually getting active. God, I just pray that you activate the faith of your people in this church today in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray for all the people in here that have heard over their life that they're not worthy. God, you make us worthy. The example of Paul is there. For that very purpose, we know that you're ready to use this, Lord God. And I say, God, come and sweep through this room today. Sweep through this room today, Lord God. And God, get their hearts on fire for you, Lord God. Help their belief, Lord Jesus. Help them to recognize that you're moving in this church, that you're moving in this community, Lord God, and that you have great plans for them. God, I pray for increased faith in this house today, Lord God, for the people who have received a word, but they're afraid to take those steps, Lord God. I pray that you increase their faith. I pray that you increase their faith, Lord God, and help them to trust in you and know where they don't see a way to fulfill the vision that you've placed in their heart, you have a way. And it's better than they could ever imagine on the other side of that dream, Lord God. I just pray, Lord God, that you would just light a fire in your people today to get out there and, Lord God, make a difference in this world, Lord God. To make a difference for your kingdom, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to grow your kingdom. And God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing here. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.